Thanks for joining us. Week one of Jesus Loves Kalamazoo. I was reminded, I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready to come in, I don't know why this came to my mind, but I remember the movie Casablanca. Remember that famous movie? In that movie, Rick says this. He says, of all the gin joints in all the cities and all the towns and all the world, she chose to come into mine. Think about that in our lives. You know, you think about how in the world did we get here? You ever think about that? You're sitting here in church at 2500 Vincent here in Kalamazoo, Michigan. How do we get here? What's the deal? What is this plan? It must be that God had some reason to bring us all together and bring us here. Bring us together. We're here together this morning. Those of you watching online, many of you who watch online have been here. You're maybe home today for whatever reason, but you consider yourself part of this church family. How do we get here? We got to back the train up a little bit to figure out how we got here. And it starts really with Beth going to Bible school. She went to Bible school in 1984, graduated in May of 86. And then that year she made the best decision she could ever make in her whole entire life. In August of that year, she married me, which of course sent her life and propelling upward in ways of joy that she could never have experienced otherwise. I'm just saying. So we got married in August of 86, and then I went to Bible school, and she worked at the school where we attended, and so she was the student activities director at the school, and then I was a student, and then after about a year of being there, they asked us to lead a Sunday school program. They call it School of the Bible. And so Beth and I were selected out of all the different people around to be overseers of the young adults group, and that was a pretty large church. And so the young adult group, which was 18 to 24 girls, there was about 300 of them. So we had a baptism on fire, really hot, a sort of pastor a group of people. And so we began to, every Sunday we would meet in this group, and then we would all go to church together, church service together. But we realized something right then, because it kind of ties into sort of the text for what we want to share today and then in the future. It's found in Matthew 28. If you grab a Bible or open your Bible, turn it on, whatever you do, our ushers, they have Bibles, they're going to hand them out if you'd like a copy of one just to take home with you. But when we went to Bible school, it was really taught us that the world was important to God. That whatever God called us to do, whether it was to be in business, be in ministry, whatever it was, that somehow our lives would be connected to what we know to be the Great Commission. This idea that Jesus came because he loved the whole world and gave his life for all of us. And so here's that verse I want to share with you. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Jesus, after being resurrected from the dead, walking on the earth for 40 days, was about to go back up to heaven and take a seat at the right hand of God in heaven. And here's what he said. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That word make disciples is really the word teach. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And to be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This idea that whatever we were going to do with our lives, that God was going to be with us, Jesus would be with us, helping us to do what? The key word here is teach. At the time we were in Bible school and overseeing this group of young people, we were involved with some just tremendous, tremendous preaching ministries where you would sit under the word with awesome preachers who would inspire you, message after message, service after service. And we realized early on, Beth and I did, and particularly her, she got this God idea, because we would come across people over and over again who we would sort of define it this way. They were a mile wide but only an inch deep when it came to their relationship with the Lord. They knew a lot. They'd heard a lot. They'd been inspired a lot, but they really weren't able to apply the things that they'd learned in a real everyday way in their life. How do I take the word and live by it? How do I live by this word? And so Beth had a unique background before she went to this really charismatic Bible school. She had gone through, in college, Campus Crusade for Christ, who were excellent at making disciples, Campus Crusade. Anybody here, a Campus Crusader, when you were in college, were touched by Campus Crusade? Let me see your hands. And a lot of people were over the years, millions of people. Well, Campus Crusade was great at teaching people how to live by faith, how to appropriate God's word, as Beth mentioned today, how to appropriate God's word in your life and just live by faith and in a simple, easy format. You know, you do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Kind of the basics of faith. And so Beth realized that when it came to the message of faith, the word of faith, that there really needs to be some teaching done on that in a way that's really simple and easy and practical in a person's life. Because again, we ministering to these young people, we would realize over and over again that they really needed help. And so she was praying about it, and the Lord put it in her heart to write a book called Getting a Grip on the Basics. And you all are familiar with that. Those of you who are watching online might not be. But it was a book she wrote back, started writing back in 1988. So she came to me one day and she said, listen, I have this idea to write a book, but I'm going to have to take time to do it. So I'm going to have to leave work. I'm going to go to see if I can go to work part time and spend half the day writing a book, the other half working at my job. And we had just had our daughter Megan. And so we had a baby, new expense to that. And now she wants to quit working. So praise the Lord. The life of faith begins. I'm saying all this because this is why we're here. This is why we're together today. It all goes back to these kind of crazy aspects of the life of faith. So I said, well, sure, let's do it. And so she wrote this book. And, of course, no one wants to publish it, but she's written it. It took you, about a year to write it? So we, with our vast resources, which was nothing, we printed the book. We began to print the book. And what we did was we took the book and sat down with certain young people. One particular guy that we had met that was just a great kid, but he was just all over the map. He'd go to every meeting in town, and Tulsa was the buckle of the Bible Belt. If you've ever been to Tulsa, you know that's the buckle of the Bible Belt. There's a powerful message going on, like, all the time. Every night there are services and great teaching, or great preaching, really. Preaching, more preaching than teaching. So we took this young man through. He was the first one, the first guinea pig. He was it. And began to help him with his life. Well, fast forward a little bit, and I get done with Bible school. God's got in our heart to go start a church. And so our goal in life was really to go start a church somewhere, begin a church and begin a family, and raise them both up. And so we prayed about where to go, and it seemed like God wanted us to come here, opened the door for us to come to Kalamazoo. So we came here. She had gone a couple years to school here in Kalamazoo at Western. When I was in business, I covered Kalamazoo, and so we knew the area. We spoke the language, which helps. We don't speak Texas. You know what I'm saying? We don't speak Mississippi. So we speak Michigan. So we speak the language. We know the culture. We know the people. So we came to Kalamazoo. And we said, how do we start a church? Because, you know, we'd gone to Bible school to learn the Bible. They really didn't teach you how to start a church. But they taught you how to preach the Bible, how to teach it. So we began to do that. And so this church started at our kitchen table with one couple going through getting a grip on basics right here in Kalamazoo. That's how we started. And so we've been, in essence, doing that ever since. And now we're into, this is 2018, that means 27 years we've been doing the same thing. 27 years. Praise the Lord. So why do we do all that? Well, because really this next verse, and again, you've heard it before if you've hung around here a little bit. It's from the Message Bible, but it's in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Here's what it says. We preach Christ. That's the message of the church today. Remember, we're going to go into all the world and make disciples. We're to teach people how to follow after Jesus. So we preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. In other words, it's just Jesus. We teach about him. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense. I would think one of the reasons you come here, and we have people who have come for decades with us, is that as we minister, we do our very best to try to break it down to make it livable. That the life of faith, the life of being a follower of Jesus, is not a theory. It should be practical. Somebody say amen to that. We should be able to know how to apply the words that we're learning to our life in a regular, everyday way. In other words, not just on Sundays, but when we go to work on Monday, go to school on Monday, whatever it is we do on Mondays, we can apply what we've learned to our lives. So we preach Christ. We don't add anything to it. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we bring each person to maturity. So when we talk about the basics, we're not talking about baby food. We're talking about how do you do this? How do you live this life of faith? We learn by learning the basics. To be mature is to be, what's that word? Basic. That's it. That's our goal. No more, no less. So that's what we do. That is who we are. That's what we do. And as we think about our future, we think, this is it. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is why we've come together. Now, why is this so important? Well, let me give you a couple stats that just sort of shake you up a little bit. Only 45% of those who attend church regularly read the Bible more than once a week. So in other words, we're living now in a culture where the Bible has become less and less relevant. If churchgoers aren't reading the Bible, who in the world is? 1 in 5 churchgoers say that they never read the Bible. Never. So again, if to be mature is to be basic and to understand who Christ is and to apply the word into your life and live by the commandments, again, fulfilling the great commission, the great commandment, if we're trying to do that outside of the Bible, we're not going to make it. 12% adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Now, she wasn't, okay? Sorry, that just cracks me up. And listen, this is an interesting one too. Now, I want you to get this because this is huge. Only 4% of Americans have a Christian worldview. Now, what's a worldview? It's how you view the world. It's the pair of glasses you put on every day and you form your belief systems with. So only 4% of Americans have a Christian worldview. In other words, based on the truth of God's word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He told his disciples, I'm going to go away. It's to your advantage that I go away, because when I do, the advocate, the comforter won't be able to come, because when he come, he will be to you the spirit of truth. And so here we have a generation of people that don't understand the Bible. The Bible isn't a part of their life. It's not framing how they view life. But again, this is God's plan. This is who we are. This is why we have to be even more solid and secure in what we believe. Because 96 out of 100 people don't believe the way we do. We are a minority. But we've got the truth. We've got the life. So this is who we are. This is why we've come here. So why in the world are we here? Why are we in Kalamazoo? Well, I think we're in Kalamazoo because God had a plan for you and us to be together. That there's an ultimate destiny that we have together to do something amazing right out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. Because the beauty is we have people watching from potentially all over the world through the internet. But we're right here in Kalamazoo. We're here in Kalamazoo. And I'm reminded of a story in the Gospel of John. It was when Jesus was forming his disciples. They were coming to him. And so Philip came to Jesus and began to become a follower of him. And he went to his friend Nathanael. And he said, Nathanael, you're not going to believe it. We found the man Moses was talking about. We found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. Now, listen to what Nathanael said in verse 46 of John chapter 1. He said this. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, you know, we got a funny name. Our town has a funny name. And people have probably heard of Kalamazoo, right? Have you ever met people say, I've heard of that. You say, I'm from Kalamazoo. I've heard of that. Why have they heard of it? Because it's got a funny name. But my question to you is, can anything good come out of Kalamazoo? And the answer is, oh, you ain't heard nothing yet about all the good that can come out of Kalamazoo. It's a cool thing to be from Kalamazoo because, again, not all of us were necessarily born here, but we're here now. God's got us right here in Kalamazoo, and this is what we're doing, and this is who we are. Let me tell you a couple of things about Kalamazoo that you probably didn't know about. More than likely, you've heard of the Upjohn Company. You all heard of that? Of course, that was a major employer here in our city. It's now owned by Pfizer. You're familiar with the big Pfizer plants in Portage. But Pfizer is a worldwide pharmaceutical company who purchased through a number of corporate acquisitions, the Upjohn Company a number of years ago. But let me tell you about W.E. Upjohn, who was from Richland. Went to school. Now, those of you who are Michigan State fans, I'm sorry to tell you this. He's a graduate of the University of Michigan Medical School, okay, in 1875. All right. So he comes back to Kalamazoo and begins to practice medicine. And up into a period of time in that sort of time frame, medicines were taken in powder form. And so they were trying to figure out a way to make a pill. Now, I can believe it, there was no such thing as pills till W.E. Upjohn figured out how to make what's called a friable pill, or a pill that was formed that you could actually bust up in your fingers or swallow it, and it would dissolve in your stomach. That idea in 1884 created pills. Isn't that awesome? Where was that? Where was that done? Right here in Kalamazoo. And now we have the Upjohn Company, which then he, you know, went on to, 2 years later, form the Upjohn Company. And for 40 years, he served as its president. It grew and grew. In fact, in 1918, he was the mayor of Kalamazoo. Did you know that? W. Upjohn. What good can come out of Kalamazoo? Well, pills. Absolutely. See, what good could come out of Kalamazoo? Well, Orville Gibson, he thought some good could come out of Kalamazoo, because Orville Gibson, you probably know Orville. Orville was a mandolin player. He loved playing the mandolin. In fact, he loved it enough, like a lot of people do, love instruments, began to design instruments and to make mandolins. And then World War I began. And when the war ended, the music trends were kind of less mandolin and began to lean towards guitars. And so Orville Gibson changed his Gibson mandolin factory to the Gibson Mandolin Guitar Manufacturing Company and began to make guitars. Where did he do that? Right here in Kalamazoo. Then World War II came, and as many manufacturers had to do, they had to adjust to support the war. And so they stopped making guitars and began to make ammunition. And again, because we were in a war, a world war, most of the men, factory workers, went to war. And so the Gibson Guitar Company began to manufacture with women. Now, what history doesn't often tell us, but it is actually true, is during that time period, while they were making ammunition for the war effort, they were also making guitars. And the Gibson gals, as they were referred to, made 25,000 guitars during World War II, right out of Kalamazoo. Well, what's the most famous guitar ever made in Kalamazoo? Well, you already know who it is. Her name's Lucille. B.B. King's famous Lucille was a Gibson guitar. Now, of course, don't tell Lucille this, but there were many Lucilles over the years. In fact, the reason we know that is because, let me back up a little bit. You saw Alex Bradfield today sing a song. Well, her dad, Todd Bradfield, his dad, Tom Bradfield. Tom was part of our church for a while, and Tom has gone on to be with the Lord. But Tom worked for Gibson Guitars, and he also worked on Lucille and many of the Lucilles. So what good things can come out of Kalamazoo? Guitars can. Isn't that cool? So we got to back up a little bit more, then move a little further to Stryker. You ever heard of the Stryker Corporation? Well, sure. Homer Stryker. Homer Stryker was a orthopedic surgeon and practicing here in Kalamazoo. And because of his trade of working on bones and casts and all those things, he realized there was a need to create a hospital bed that could rotate, so that it could keep the patients, in the bed, but be able to work on them and put them in different positions. And so he created something as simple, something as basic as a rotatable hospital bed. Tack onto that the idea that he had to be able to create a saw, and I think this is good because this is rather basic, but a saw that could cut a cast without cutting the patient. Don't you think that's a good idea? The saw that cuts the cast and not the patient. So he formed the orthopedic medical bed company, and then a few years later, in 1964, I think they changed the name to the Stryker Corporation. Now, why is that important? Well, it came right here from Kalamazoo. Last year, Stryker Corporation, annual sales last year, $12.5 billion in medical equipment. Isn't that the coolest? Where's that come from? Right here, Kalamazoo, Michigan. I love being from Kalamazoo. Don't you think being from Kalamazoo is a cool thing? What could we do from Kalamazoo? What could we accomplish in Kalamazoo? Well, I love this story. This was one of those older people. Morris Markin owned a cab company. He made cabs in a Chicago suburb. And just a little, you know, onesie, twosies kind of thing. Had a manufacturing business and merged with another one. And formed the Checker Cab Company. You ready for this? He formed the Checker Cab Company. When did he do that? He did it in 1922. And then 2 years later, moved to where? Kalamazoo. Why? Well, who wouldn't want to build Checker Cabs in Kalamazoo? So for all these years, when I grew up, that cab, when I was a kid, that was the cab of the world. What was it? It was ugly. But it was a tank. You could drive those things for millions and millions and millions of miles. And for nearly 50 years, Kalamazoo was the headquarters of making this cab, Checker Cabs, for cabs all over the world. Where do they do that? Right here in Kalamazoo. I just think that's awesome. This is where we are. This is who we are. This is why we're here, because there's something about this Kalamazoo. We got something to come out of Kalamazoo. Now, you may have heard of the books Left Behind series. Left Behind. You heard of those books, Left Behind? They're famous books about the end of the ages, and written by a guy named Jerry Jenkins. You know where Jerry Jenkins was born? You guessed it. Kalamazoo, Michigan. So you say, what did he ever do? Like, now, ready for this? He's written 190 books. That's writing some books right there. We tell people Beth's written over 20 books. And every time I tell someone that she's written over 20 books, they go, they're like, 20 books? This dude's written 190 of them. Now, there's been, I gotta make sure I say this right, over 70 million copies sold of his books. Where did he come from? Well, he came from Kalamazoo. What good could come out of Kalamazoo? A lot. We can't go any farther without talking about Derek Jeter. Amen. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but Derek was not born here. All right? He was born in New Jersey, but he was raised here. They moved him when he was 4 years old, came to Kalamazoo, graduated from Kalamazoo Central. What I like about the Derek Jeter story is it's an interesting story because he was drafted by the New York Yankees right out of high school. So he could have played college ball. In fact, people saw the gift that he had. I would say the basics of baseball. There was just something basic about him. This idea of how to throw a ball and how to hit a bat, how to run. Those basic things you got to have. There was something in him that they saw in middle school. In fact, I was just talking to somebody the other day. They said the coach of the Western's college team, when Derek was in middle school, pointed out and said, that guy's going to play pro ball. Of course he did. Well, I wasn't. There was something in him. So he gets drafted. Now listen to this. Gets drafted by the Yankees and goes into the minor league to sort of learn to play at the professional level. Well, in his first year, playing in the minors, did not do well. Played 47 games. But his batting average, now get this, was only .202. Now in the pro level, if your batting average goes below .200, you're done. So his coach, even though he knew Derek wasn't doing very well, he wasn't playing to his potential, saw something in him and benched him so his average wouldn't go below .200. And it saved his career. For the next couple of years, he started to improve barely. But in that fourth year, he got his stride. The fifth year, he went and he played a little bit on the Yankees. Then in 1996, he played his rookie year for the Yankees at shortstop. George Steinbrenner didn't want him. But the coaches saw something in Derek Jeter. And they said, no, he's got it. That year, he won Rookie of the Year, and the Yankees won the World Series. Where'd he come from? Right here, Kalamazoo. Isn't that cool? So you think about where we live and what God has in his hand upon our lives. I just love this because you just think about all the different things that have happened. We can't go even further. Let me wrap up with this thought about Kalamazoo. Is the Kalamazoo promise? Who ever heard of that kind of thing? Where if you go to school here in Kalamazoo, if those of you who are watching online, you better move here right now, okay? Because if you put your kids in Kalamazoo public schools and they go through the whole system for 12 years, Kalamazoo will pay for their college education. Pay for it. Isn't that the coolest thing? So it's a good thing to be from Kalamazoo. And now on top of that, I didn't mention when I'm talking about the Strikers, but you know that the Rhonda Striker, one of the Striker kids, her and her husband are the ones who gave $100 million donation to Western Michigan to form a medical school that started a few years ago here in Kalamazoo. $100 million. Isn't that awesome? And now we have a medical school in Kalamazoo. Who would not want to be from Kalamazoo? Really? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm from Kalamazoo. How you doing? So what do we do with all this? Kalamazoo's cool. We're cool. We're here. What are we doing? What are we doing with all this? What are we doing that's going to change the world? Well, we're doing something that's pretty cool. We started last year, which most of you are familiar with. But that is, we're taking this concept of the basics and through Beth's teaching and broadcasting it around the world. She created a television show. She and her son, Eric, who is here visiting, actually this weekend is driving back right now back to Tulsa. But here's the different channels that Beth is on around the world. Right here out of Kalamazoo. This is awesome. Up in the top right is the Hillsong channel. She's on the Hillsong channel. Get this. Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. A prime slot. We are on television nightly at 9 p.m. on the Hillsong channel, which is one of the strongest, well, the strongest Christian channel, television network, really, and up and coming. It's just awesome. And she's on it. We're on it. And then we get a testimony this week. And they get this. We get a testimony this week, right? The guy came in this, writes a testimony to Beth and says, hey, I'm a college student. I go to Western. I'm in Phoenix on spring break. I'm flipping through the channels, and lo and behold, I hear, coming up next from Kalamazoo, Michigan, Beth Jones. She says, I just want you to know, I'm watching it down in Phoenix. Is that cool or what? Okay, so that's the Hillsong channel. Up here on the top left-hand side is Faith USA. Now, we're on Faith USA Monday through Thursday at 8 o'clock in the morning all over the world. This is Faith USA, but it's broadcast all over the place. Then GEB America, that's in Tulsa. That's at midnights and on Saturday nights in Tulsa. And then I like this one, Good News Television over here in the bottom right. That's broadcast in India. Broadcast in India. And then the one in the middle is TBN Najat. Now that airs in Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan, and some other stands I don't know. She's big with the stands. But here's a testimony. I thought you'd enjoy hearing this. This came in just recently, right? I'm not sure if Pastor Beth will see this message, but I wanted to thank God for her. I'm the person who translates her teaching into Farsi. I want to let you know that these messages, which obviously are not live for me as they have been recorded before, have touched my heart, soul, and spirit. I've been experiencing some things in my heart and life that made me so emotional and broken. The past few days, I've been hearing Bible verses, which really have helped me. And today, I finished translating episode 44. I don't know what episode that was. I heard this verse in my heart. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I just want to thank Pastor Beth for this beautiful message and thank God for giving me this opportunity to translate for Pastor Beth and also for telling me how much he loves me and how much he cares for me. Isn't that cool? Now, I read that to you because that's not just her testimony. That's our testimony. That's us. That's who we are. That's what we're doing here. This is what comes out of Kalamazoo and is changing people's life. Even the person who translates for the television program. It's just amazing. Let me share a couple other testimonies with you, just real briefly, for you to hear it. Here's Barbara from the United States. I was never taught from the basic perspective, and it's great. My son and I are both loving it. This will be so helpful for him, and I'm sure her as well. Here's Sherry from the United States. Hello. Today is my first lesson. I'm currently an online student attempting to complete a PhD program in leadership. So she's studying to get her doctorate in leadership. I am convinced that returning to the basics is a quality practice and a continuous spiritual growth process. Why do we broadcast the basics? Because people need the basics at every single level of life. Vicky from South Africa writes, watched Beth for the first time on TV and was captured. I was so excited and can't wait to hear more. Here's one dear from Uganda. Sincere greetings from Eastern Uganda. We had an opportunity to watch you on TV and our hearts were taken over by your spirit-filled messages and prayers. You are a most excellent pastor and spiritual mom to the world. Thank you, Lord. Here's one from Penny from Australia. I really love how you teach. You are so understandable and you help us to make sense of everything. Well done. This is so awesome. Love you guys so much, all the way from Aussie land. Praise the Lord. And then here's Mike from the USA. I watched Beth and the basics for the first time on TV last evening. Found it very down to earth, just the facts, without all the religious attachments. Look forward to experiencing more. And then finally, Julie from the USA. I finally understood from your show tonight that God loves me. Thank you. That's, I think, the best testimony of them all. And then I like this one. This is the last one I'll share with you. It says, can't get enough of your old-fashioned, I like this, the old-fashioned, real, practical, and scriptural Bible basics. Thank you for your faithful ministry. So now why is it important? Remember what Jesus said. He said, take this message, teach it to all nations that they can follow after me. Teach it to all nations. Let me talk about the world population for just a minute, because this is where this connecting point comes from. This connecting point. Talking about us, the basics, Kalamazoo, and now let's connect that to the whole world. It took about 1,800 years from the time of Jesus to the 1800s for the earth's population to reach a billion people. A billion people. Then it took 127 years to reach 2 billion people. And then after that, basically, it took 33 years until 1960 when we reached around 3 billion people on the planet. But notice what happens from then on. But every 12 years or so, we grow by a billion people. A billion is a lot of people. I saw these. We were back in Tulsa a few weeks ago at our Bible school. In fact, it was my 30th reunion from Bible school. When we were talking about the world population. And when I looked at these numbers, here's what I realized. It shook me for a minute. Because our Bible school has expanded, as many Bible schools have expanded over the years and around the world. But we can't keep up with a billion people every 12 years. We can't keep up. We can't raise up enough ministers. We can't raise up enough churches. We need some venue to share the gospel around the world. That's why television is important. That's why what we do here in Kalamazoo is important to reach the world. That's why. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He said, the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. The whole world needs to hear the gospel. And then the end will come. Every 12 years, a billion more people arrive. A billion more people. A billion more people. So what does that have to do with us? It has to do everything with us. Everything. We're the church. We are the church. We are the ones who present the gospel. That's what we do. It's who we are. And so here's my challenge to you, and here's my request. This idea of bringing the basics of faith. To be mature is to be basic. To bring that to the world, we can't do it alone. We can only do it together. So I want to ask you to help us. Here's my ask. Ushers, do you have those cards handy? Grab those, and if you would, just start passing them down the roads. I want you to look at this card that we're about to give you. Because here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want to ask you to help us financially to be able to broadcast the Basics with Beth around the world. This year, the broadcast costs were about $500,000. For $500,000 investment, we can broadcast the message of faith of Jesus Christ around the world, pretty much around the world. We did the numbers the other day, and it was just slightly over a possibility of 1 billion viewers. That's television in their home. Not just on the internet, if you happen to find it somewhere on the internet. I'm talking about a clicking through on your television, on your home, a potential audience of over 1 billion people. I think that's awesome. And we can do that. We can put this program out there each and every day throughout the week, and we can help to reach the world for God. Now, it takes resources. And here's how the body of Christ works. We have teachers, and then we have those of us who support those who teach. That's us. So we can't necessarily teach the basics as good as Beth does. Don't you think she's the best basics teacher you ever heard? So around here, as just for those of you, you might be visiting for the first time, and you wonder, my gosh, these guys are talking about money. Yeah, every so often we do talk about money. But here's the thing. We as a church body, many of us tithe, which means we give the Lord regularly from our income, 10% of what God brings into our lives, we tithe, and the church runs off that. And then we give offerings throughout the year for special projects, certain things that God's doing with us. And so we concluded, for those of you who are involved, we've had a number of people over the years involved with something we call Heart for the House, which means we give extra each week, or however you give, towards certain projects. Well, we just concluded a whole year-long Heart for the House campaign last month. And so we're starting fresh here in 2018, here in March. And so over this next year, there are probably a couple of projects we'll work on. But this first one is the one we're going to do now. And that is make a commitment to help support the Basics with Beth over the next 12 months. Now, let me just make it easy for you to understand. Raising $500,000 seems like a giant mountain, but you know, if all of us did something, it actually is really easy to get to. It's just simple, really easy. Let me break it down, show you how simple it is. If there were 500 people who gave $1,000 over the next year, 500 people, we're done. We've raised the money for it. Let me just say at that level how to make that work in a practical sense. Let's say you make $12 an hour. Let's just say you make $12. Some of you here make less than that. Some of you make more than that. But let's say you make $12 an hour. What that means is to be able to help $1,000 a year is roughly about $3 a day. It's less than $3. Or if you make $12 an hour, that is 15 minutes of your workday. Is it possible that God could use you to do something that'll reach people around the world? If you invested 15 minutes of your workday, that income that you earned, and you invested that in television. In other words, could you conclude your day each day from 4:45 to 5 o'clock if you worked 8 to 5? Took that last 15 minutes of your day and said, God, I'm working for you right now. This 15 minutes is going towards the gospel around the world. Now, we're going to do what we do locally. We're going to continue to offer amazing services here in the church. We're going to have an amazing Easter presentation in a month from now. We're going to do all that. But from Kalamazoo, from this group of people that decided to become followers of Jesus, can we do something that just makes a dent in the world, makes a difference in the world. Something as simple as that. So that card gives you lots of different options. It's just so simple. You know, you could give as much as, in fact, we always try to set the pattern for this. We're really committed to this. And so we're going to give 200 a week to this. Every week for the next year. But there's some breakdowns. If you give $100 a week, though, that's $5,000. If you give $50 a week, that's $2,500. If you give $20 a week, that's $1,000. You say, well, those numbers don't add up. There's 52 weeks a year. Well, we're giving you a two-week vacation. Because we care. So here's what I need from you. Would you help us? Would you help us? Maybe you're visiting with us today and you say, you know what? I'm never going to come back to this church. Would you help us? Seriously. God keeps good records. He's going to know that you invested in something that's going to change the world. I think we can change the world through something as simple as this. So take this card, fill it out, and we're going to receive this offering next week. Okay, we're going to receive it officially next week. Or if you say, no, I know I want to give right now. I know exactly what I want to do. I want to do it right now. Then just drop this card off at the information center on your way out. All right, just drop it off there on your way out. But I would just ask you this. Prayerfully consider being a part of helping us from Kalamazoo bring the gospel to the world. Now, amen. So, you can let us know what you want to give, but also if you want to know how to do that you know, you can give, when you give online, already there's a drop-down menu on our online giving for the basics with Beth. You can give that direction. You can text to give if you use the word basics and give on that. You can give it that way as well. It's so simple and so easy. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us, and then I want to give a challenge. Father, there are times as a body where we have to make an honest assessment of ourselves and of our motives and our appreciation of you. We're so thankful that there are seasons like this where we can make a decision to do something that makes a significant difference. But who would think that from Kalamazoo, Michigan, we could broadcast the gospel around the world? Only you would have known that. Only you would have known that as Beth and I packed up that U-Haul truck, you know, over 30 years ago to head towards Kalamazoo, start a church. You knew what you wanted to do. And now I pray that you help each one of us see the vision that you have for us. A vision that together as a church family, we can do something that maybe others couldn't do. But God, stretch our faith, challenge us, mold us, help us to be used by you in a new and a fresh way. Lord, I thank you for those that are right now prayerfully considering what they're going to do to help. But Lord, I call every need met. The broadcast cost met. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.